ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. So, we have been discussing the Ajatashatru and Gargiya conversation. Gargiya became the willing, humble student of Ajatashatru, who was a knower of Brahman. And along with that, we also have to remember, he was a contemporary of Janaka Maharaja. Therefore, there may be many other kings. That is what Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Krishna refers to. Karmanaiva hi samsiddhim asthitaha Janaka adayaha. Janaka, King Janaka and many others. Adi, Adayaha means etc., etc. There must have been many great people. So, there is no such rule. Only Brahmins would become knowers of Brahman. Anybody, even a Chandala, can become a knower of Brahman. The famous anecdote of a Chandala, suppose Bhagavan himself, because after the no knowledge of Brahman, a person cannot be called a Chandala or a Brahmana. He remains Brahman only. But he appeared in the form of a Chandala to create humility. And what is that humility? That your feeling that I am a Brahmana, superior to other people, should be gotten rid of. If one doesn't, then he is not only a spiritual sadhaka, he is a deeply worldly person. So, we can learn, what is the second lesson we have to learn from this incident? Anybody can be a teacher. Even a small child can also be a great teacher. That's why there is a beautiful saying, Bala Vakya is Brahma Vakya. The innocent truth coming out of the mouth of a baby is actually the words of Bhagavan himself. So, we have seen that this Gargiya became a truly fit disciple. Otherwise, a great teacher will not teach. Now, Ajatashatru wanted to take him to a sleeping man. And why did Ajatashatru take him by hand to this person? Because Ajatashatru wanted to teach through the analysis of Avasthatraya, three types of experiences, the waking, the dream, and the deep sleep, Jagrat, Sapna, Sushupti. Through the analysis of these three, one can gain lot of understanding, one's intellect can become very purified, and ridden of many superstitions, wrong misunderstandings, etc. This is a very favorite theme in the Upanishads and also in the Bhagavad Gita. Where do we get in the Bhagavad Gita? Indirectly we get that Sita Ushna Matras Parshastu Kaunteya Sita Ushna Sukhadakadaha Agama Paino Anityaha Tan Titikshasva Bharataha. O Arjuna, so matrasparshaha, whatever we experience through the sense organs, the knowledge we get through the sense organs, like heat and cold, happiness and unhappiness, honor and dishonor, etc., they are all temporary, changing, avasthantara. So they go on changing. Cold changes into heat, heat changes into cold, happiness into unhappiness, unhappiness into happiness, honor into dishonor, dishonor into honor. All the time it is happening. So, what is the point? That which is changing, it must have a changeless background, because without this changeless background, one can never experience what is changing. A great psychological, of course, spiritual truth. So, Bhagavan is telling, Tantitikshasva. Very profound meaning is there. So, the literal meaning is just go on bearing. Another thing that he says, Shankaracharya explains beautifully, if you really analyze the causes of heat and cold, happiness and unhappiness, these heat and cold, happiness and unhappinesses are not the causes of either happiness or unhappiness. As an example, the same heat now we are experiencing in Varanasi or in the West Europe especially, the same heat will be very pleasant in deep winter seasons everywhere. But the same cold will be most pleasant if it comes here, even by a little bit of raining, if the degree of heat comes down. What a happiness we feel. What is the point? Changeless, changeful things cannot be changed. But they need not affect us. Like the Zen master says, the cause of my constant happiness is when it is winter, I accept it as a cold season. When it is summer, I also accept it equally as a season of terrible heat. Once we accept, the mind would not suffer much. By accepting, things would not change. But our mind remains calm and quiet. And a calm and quiet mind is a happy mind. And that's why when we do not experience even this heat and cold, the entire world, including the interpreting or misinterpreting mind, the greatest bliss is obtained in deep sleep. So this analysis of these three states, what is the first truth they indicate? That since waking is changing into dream, dream into dreamless, dreamless into waking, how do I know? Because I, the changeless self-consciousness, am witnessing all these three. That is the point. And for to understand how or to have a glimpse, a foreglimpse of what type of experience we may possibly have if we know that we are Brahman, or in other words, when we experience into Nirvikalpa Samadhi, that is being the nearest example for that deeper understanding is the analogy of the deep sleep. Gadha Nidra, Sushupti, whatever you call it. What is its speciality? So, time, space and causation completely disappear. And only when they disappear, we experience deep sleep. And what are these time, space and causation? They are called world. World is time, space and causation. And time, space and causation is the world. Another name for it, names and forms. And every name and every form are different. So that indicates a difference in space. And past and present are experienced. That indicates that we are changeable materials. Another name for the world. But wherever there is a observation of changefulness, there must be a changeless consciousness. Consciousness is absolutely relevant. Without consciousness, we will not become aware of either time or timelessness. So to say, this is an object, we require consciousness. And to say, that object is not here. Whether an object is or whether object is not, that can be witnessed only by the changeless consciousness, which is separate from both the changing and changeless material. So that is the lesson we have to learn through the analysis of this avasthatraya, three states of waking, dream and dreamless state. Now, how does Ajatashatru want to teach this one? So, this is what we will do. I have taken this from a senior Swami. Beautifully, he does it. And this Swami's name is Swami Krishnananda. He was the disciple of Swami Shivananda of the Divine Life Society. And I also heard some senior Swamis exposing or explaining these three states. So here, what is the instruction? How does Ajatashatru initiate this instruction? And in between, we also confirm the teachings of Swami Sri Ramakrishna and wherever it's possible of Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda. So this story of Ajatashatru and Gargia explores the Vedanta. Vedic philosophy is called Vedanta through a dialogue between King Ajatashatru and Gargia, specially focusing on the nature of the Jivatma, individual soul, and its identity with Paramatma. The implied meaning is Paramatma is Brahman, God, we are aware of it, but we are also aware that Jivatma, our individual soul, what we 24 hours call it as me, I. So we think I am very small, my knowledge is very small, my power is very small, my understanding is very small, everything is very small. I am an infinitesimal part of that Paramatma. Difference is there. We see a lot of differences between I and everything else. So this, according to Vedanta, that this is not the true understanding of individual soul. So how do we come to know what is the real nature of the individual soul? For that purpose, Ajatashatru is trying to analyze all the three states are analyzed through the analysis of the deep sleep. So Ajatashatru takes Gargia by hand, goes to a sleeping man, and first he calls him by some names. Brihan, Pandaravasaha, Somarajaha. These are the names of the Pranadevata. Pranadevata is nothing but Chandra Devata. Both are nothing but Hiranyagarbha. So this is the way he wants to do. And for that purpose, the student has to be made fit to understand the teaching. And that is why Ajatashatru, as we have seen, had made Gargia expand his understanding of the knowledge of Hiranyagarbha through the contemplation of Hiranyagarbha in its various aspects. And every time we progress a little, our understanding of the Supreme Reality becomes better and better. And for that, the mind has to be made into its original quality called Sattvaguna. There is no equivalent word in English language for this quality called Sattva. So Tamoguna has to be converted into Rajoguna, Rajoguna into Sattvaguna, and then go beyond all the three. But Sattvaguna, it leads one to the highest reality. What a profound story Sri Ramakrishna tells of the three robbers. You should apply this here. So when we are deeply engrossed in our waking state, that can be compared to the Tamoguna dominating. Tamoguna means what? Not sleep. Tamoguna means less understanding, more distraction, less understanding, less concentration. But when we enter into the next subtler, higher stage, anything that is subtler is better than the higher than the grosser. When we come to the dream state, then the mind is free. Notice how the time becomes almost infinite. You think of America, you are in America, or UK, or Australia. You think of anybody, however long distance, he will be present. Even a dead person will be present to you in dream state as a live person. Even future persons also you can see. Such is the greatness, glory of this dream state. And then we come across deep sleep state, where the Jagrat, waking, and the dream, both are completely cut off. And as I mentioned earlier, time, space, causation are gone. But this is also a state. A state means limitation. Limitation is called a state. Why? Because unconsciously, time will bring an end to this, and again we wake up, and again we fall into this. So, dream state is better than waking state. And deep sleep state is much superior, much nearer, because the less the duality, the more near we are to the highest truth. In the gross waking state, experiencing the world, we are in deep tamas, long distance away from Brahman. In dream state, we are much nearer because this is a wonderful state. We can dream of gods, goddesses, and there is a lot of karma phalakshaya also can be done. Destruction or exhaustion of the karma phala. Because, remember, if somebody had accumulated lot of punyam, virtue, and the result of it is tremendous amount of happiness. But that happiness is much superior in dream state. So, don't go on objecting. But at least in the waking, if I have to eat a big rasagulla, it gives me at least 5 minutes happiness. But in the dream, it exhausts itself in a twinkling of a second. No, that is a wrong understanding. This is our misunderstanding of the dream experience through the waking state comparison. But when we are in the dream state, it doesn't look like a twinkling of a second. No, it looks exactly like the waking state. It may look even more. And then in waking state, you have to spend a lot of money. And in the dream state, you just think about it and you can have as many sweets as you want, as much happiness as you want. But for that, you have to train your mind to have happy dreams. It's a great sadhana. So if you go on filling your mind with the incidents in the lives of great saints and sometimes the contemplation of Jesus Christ, deep contemplation even brings about what they call stigmata. Physically it is present, as it was present when Sri Ramakrishna was meditating on Hanuman as well as on Radha or on Kali. So, do not think dream state is an unreal state. It is equally real, as real, if not more real, than the waking state, so long as we are experiencing dream state. But the freedom we get is greater. So, if you train your mind, you can go where you like, you can meet whom you like, you can read what you like, you can understand what you like, and several times you can get glimpses of great truth in the dream state. Several novelists, for example, G.K. Chesterton, he had written a book, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. The entire book came to him from the beginning to the end in a dream. And he said himself later on, when I woke up, I vividly recollected, and then all that I needed to do was to take blank paper, put a pen to the paper, and the story flowed by itself. It is one of the classic stories of how we divide, we deceive our own mind. These are great writers. So, dream state. That's why Sri Ramakrishna asks M, do you have dreams about holy people? And if you recollect, M narrated how he wanted to cross a huge ocean and there were no boats. He saw an old Brahmin
You should recollect that story. And where are you going? He was told by this Brahmin, I am going to the Bhavanipur, to the city of the Divine Mother. Oh, I also wanted to go there. After hearing this dream, Sri Ramakrishna's hair stood on end. He said, you are ready now to accept a guru, because this kind of dream indicates that he is waiting for somebody to guide him how he can cross across this ocean of the samsara, this world transmigratory existence. What a beautiful interpretation. We have to understand, a dream is nothing but a symbol of what we experience, and not only what we experience, but more important, how we experience. So this is how a deep sleep indicates it is the nearest state to the experience of, to the nature of Brahman. That's what Ajatashatru slowly wanted to do that. But in this process, he also gives marvelous analysis of the waking as well as the dream state. If we understand what we are going to study now, we get the real essence of this entire, the second chapter, Ajatashatru, Gargya, Brahmana, until the end. And the next one is only an illustration of this through the dialogue between Yajnavalkya and Maitri. We will come to that later on. So, by observing a sleeping person, the sources demonstrate that the true self is distinct from the physical body and prana. As the soul resolves into its original blissful nature during deep sleep, we have to understand not 100% resolution, but a great resolution. Because there is no world first, but there is a sense of a state that there is, I am very happy and I did not know how time had passed. So this explanation further also defines the secret name of the self as Satyasya Satyam. These are the two words which are going to come in future. But briefly what it means is this world is also Satyam. But we will come to know that it is Satyam, truth. It is not Mithya. Only after we attain the knowledge of Brahman, as Sri Ramakrishna so beautifully illustrates for us, only when a person, he reaches the roof and understands what the roof is made up of, then he understands the whole house is made up of exactly the same material that is with which the roof is made up of. So once a person comes to know, this is the nature of Brahman. Brahman means Sat Chit Ananda. Sat means existence. So whatever we see, that is an existence. So that existence part of the Namarupa is the truth. But the forms will change, the names will change. A beautiful illustration one of our Swamis gives. Supposing you know a small boy, a person from his childhood, and you are seeing, oh, this is that child, this is the young man, this is the middle-aged man, this is the old man, this is the very old man. Even though you are giving, the body is changing, the mind is changing, the person's knowledge is changing, but behind all that, this is the same person. He is not different. The child is not different from the young man. The young man is not different from the old man. So also, apply this to ourselves. We also say, when I was young, when I was a child, when I was middle-aged. But a great truth we are expressing, but I, the person, is the same. Now, how can same and changefulness come together? Even though we do not analyze it that way, I, referring to that changeless person, I am the same, is referring to the pure consciousness, but I was the child, I was the young person. These changing natures are, we are, by that we are indicating the nature of the body and also the accompanying mind. So we have two knowledges, true knowledge of pure consciousness and also the changing nature of the body and mind with which I am associated. So same thing, I am going through the, I am in the waking state, I am the called the waker, I am the dreamer in the dream state, and I am the sleeper in the deep sleep state. I am the waker, dreamer and sleeper, but they are all completely changeable natures. One is not the other, but at the same time I am telling, so I am the dreamer, I am the waker, I am the sleeper, etc., which clearly indicates I am mistaking the subject me with the object, which are the waking, dreaming and deep sleep, and then mistaking, combining these two. That is what beautifully Shankaracharya in his introduction to the Brahma Sutras, Satyanrute Midhuni Kritya. So what is this world? Is a mixture of truth and untruth. Untruth means not non-existence. Untruth means change, changelessness plus changefulness mixed together, and we think it is one and the same, even though our mind knows it is not the same. That is called adhyasa, superimposition. In our own terminology, it is called maya, mistaking two separate things as one and the same. Nothing changes. When knowledge dawns, we come to know, when I am in one state, I am the changeless. When I am in the other state, I am both the changeless and then changeful. When I am in Nirvikalp Samadhi, I am pure Brahman. But when I am the, become the Saguna Brahma, I become the Saguna. That means the unchanging Brahman and Maya, the changing world. Both are mixed together, even though they cannot be mixed together. That is what is expressed here. Satyasya Satyam means what? That which is the real reality of the changing reality. The changing reality is called Satyam. It is not Mithya. Brahma Satyam, Jagat Satyam. The Mithya is only so long as we do not have the right knowledge. Once we get the right knowledge, we see the same thing. So, Sri Ramakrishna illustrates, so a huge garden is made up of wax, different trees, different fruits, different structures. But from one point of view, the banyan tree is different from the grass blade. But from the wax point of view, both are exactly of the same nature. One who has this knowledge is called a knower of Brahman. In fact, he is called a Jivan Mukta. So, this is what I wanted before we go further. When we say Mithya, and Advaitins are very fond of using this word without understanding. Mithya means what? An unchanging reality which reflects in our mind as a changing reality. That is called Mithya. So where is the change? The change is not in the outside. Even the word outside and inside are also part of this construction of the mind only. It is a part of the ignorance. In deep sleep, inside and outside, good and evil, all these will be completely transcended. That's why it is the nearest state to Brahman. It is a greatest pointer to Brahman. But don't ever mistake that Sushupti is Brahman. Brahman's nature is better understood through the analogy of this deep sleep. That's all. So, seeing Nama Rupa and forgetting that it is nothing but manifestation of Brahman as Nama Rupa, that is called Mithya and it's a mistake. So, the second misunderstanding we have to remove it. This Upanishad is telling Brahman as the only reality, only Satyam. But by using this word, it is the truth of the truth. So the first truth is Brahman. Second truth, referring to its manifestation as this world. And Thakur says this, beautifully clarifies this point when he mentions that the full value of a bale fruit cannot be appreciated unless we take the entire fruit, the skin, the seeds, and the sweet pith inside. So you should not take only that, the essence of the bale fruit. Of course, in practical affair, we have to do that. But to when we say bale fruit, it means all the three. So this world is also nothing but a manifestation of Brahman with names and forms, with bodies and minds. That is it called Satyam. But what is that real Satyam? Brahman. In the form of existence, consciousness and bliss. So this Upanishad wants to clarify, Ajatashatru wants to make Gargi understand that the apparent individuality of the soul is merely an incidental superimposition caused by the mind, which can be transcended again through the mind by acquiring the knowledge of Advaita or non-duality. So to demonstrate the reality of the self, Ajatashatru takes Gargya, a sleeping man. He addresses Pranadevata because Gargya thought all his knowledge is real about real Brahman. Ajatashatru makes him understand, no, you only know about Hiranyagarbha. And another name for that Hiranyagarbha is Pranadevata. And that Pranadevata is manifest in Chandradevata because these are the words used in Gargya's Upasana. I contemplate on Chandra. And then Ajatashatru adds three more qualities. The great Brihan, Pandaravasaha, pure as white, Somarasaha, and the essence of delight. So these are all Pranadevata's names. Other words, Hiranyagarbha's names. So if you think Hiranyagarbha is the final truth, real Brahman, then as soon as I touched him, he should have woken up. As soon as I called him many times, he should have woken up. But he did not. I had to shake him. And then he woke up. That's all. The story ends there. That is an illustration. What is the purpose? To analyze where was this person when I called him, he did not respond. And from where did he come? So where did he go? From where did he come? So we have seen this one in the Chandogya Upanishad. Where do the beings go? And how do they come back? This is called Panchagni Vidya. And of course the student did not know. So the king had to teach him. That is also a beautiful story. We have already done it. These are all related. When we read one Upanishad, if we can keep some of the key points, then we can enjoy them. Because all Upanishads are only the manifestation of truth. That's all. So violently shaking the man eventually wakes him up, proving that the physical body is also completely distinct from the true conscious entity. Why do we say so? Because if physical body is the consciousness, he should have been conscious. Let me give a small illustration. Supposing you are attending a meeting and then somebody calls such and such a person is required immediately to report at the gate. And if that person is not referring to you, you will not care. But then when your name is mentioned, such and such a person, that means you become immediately alert. So you get up and rush. That means you are responding to your name by just hearing it. But here, the sleeping person did not respond. That means the physical body is now devoid of consciousness. And he shook a little bit. That means the dreaming person, that state also did not respond. Light shaking should have brought the person but it did not. So, he was not in the waking state, he was not in the dream state, and there is only one state left out, and that is called the deep sleep state. So, it took time. So, Ajatashatru wanted to say, answering his own question to Gargia, this person was in deep sleep, and he came back to this waking state by my violently shaking him. That is what he says. So, this is called Avastha Traya Viveka. Analysis of the three states every jiva, every living creature undergoes. So, in the waking state, Jagrat Avastha, the intellect expands, creating an extended sense of ego. Very important point. We are all Chidabhasas. What does it mean? Chit means Brahman, but because we are associated with body and mind, that consciousness of Brahman, or Brahman who is pure consciousness, reflects in the mind at first, and that reflection is called Abhasa. Abhasa means reflection. Chit means pure consciousness, reflection of pure consciousness. And that pure consciousness is what we call Aham, I. So, when this Chidabhasa can associate with the waking state, also can associate with the dream, also can associate with the dreamless state, all the three states. So, what happens when this Chidabhasa identifies with the waking state? Body becomes fully aware. The whole world, we become conscious of the whole world, and we develop attachments. We develop dislikes, likes and dislikes, attachment and detachment, loving and hating, liking and disliking, honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and unhappiness. Our mind becomes, or the Chidabhasa becomes completely identified and forgets who is the pure Sakshi I. Same thing more or less happens. When the Chidabhasa identifies, it of course is not identified with the physical body, gross body, but it identifies with the subtle body, also called mind. But the mind is not pure mind. It is full of these impressions gathered in the waking state and taking all those impressions. So, like mixing masalas. So, the mind goes on mixing, and the entire purpose is that to experience happiness or unhappiness according to the karma it had done in the past. This is again a very important point. So we can be, some dreams can be very happy, some dreams can be extremely painful, and it depends upon what our samskaras, what impressions we have gathered through various lives in the past. So, if somebody had done punya karma, he will be having tremendous amount of happy sleep. Somebody had done the opposite, then he will have to suffer a lot. So, the point we have to derive is, not only we can create, experience and exhaust karma phala in the waking state, we can also do so in the dream state. Just, I am carried away by this actually, but it's a very wonderful analysis. Supposing there is a person who had done a lot of punya karma, not only when he is in the, or his Chidabhasa is associated with the gross body, then the whole world becomes Nandanavana, a pleasure garden. So the people whom he meets, and the health, physical health, and the climate. Maybe he is living in a place like it is neither cold nor hot, and a lot of things grow, beautiful things, exotic things grow, etc. Maybe, and his parents are extremely good, very rich, and very pure, very spiritual. His neighbors are great, and he had great opportunity to learn all these things. Are the resultant of how much punyam he has accumulated. But not only in the physical world, when he goes to sleep, his mind is deeply satisfied. He will have divine dreams maybe, or great, good, happy, pleasant dreams. And through the experience of that happiness, he is also exhausting the punyam. That is the point I wanted to clearly point out to you. Not only the physical world, dream world also, one can create desires, one can also exhaust karma phala. Because what is it? Dreams have tremendous influence upon our mind. So when a person dreams, I want to become a follower of Swami Vivekananda, I want to do a lot of good. Of course, in the waking state we have to create, but in the dream state also, we'll be dreaming. So, where should I start? Such a beautiful place. Maybe a school, maybe an ashrama, maybe a hospital, a dispensary, and how am I going to serve? So a person's ambitions, they take shape in the dreams. And that is why it is said so beautifully, today's dream becomes tomorrow's reality. These are all marvelous things we have to understand. But then, that is also, there also, the mind is entangled in this dream world, which indirectly points out entanglement with the gross world, the waking state. But then, there also, where there is, remember, in the waking or dream, the opposites always work. Heat and cold, happiness and unhappiness, honor and dishonor, profit and loss, all these things will be there. But when a same person enters into that marvelous state, the most concentrated state, devoid of time, space and causation, then that's why whether it is 6 hours, 7 hours, a virtuous person sleeps like a small child, completely happy. He wakes up completely refreshed, completely energetic and rearing, as we say, for this. How many of us can really claim that I get up and I am rearing, I feel a wellness welling up within me? Very difficult to understand that point. So, what we have to understand, so chit becomes chidabhasa, the moment we have a body and mind, this reflected consciousness called chidabhasa is what we call I. This I divides itself into two, that is the participating I and the witnessing I. As I mentioned earlier, spiritual life is nothing but transforming this participating I into this witness I. We do not give up what we have to do. We have to discharge our duties, but at the same time, like a person who goes on witnessing beautifully, like that Japanese monk who was abused. I told you this story before, but I will remind you in our next class for the sake of our analysis. So when a person enters into this deep sleep state, he abides in himself, so to say, not really, but so to say, for some time, devoid of it, no duality will be there. This is again beautifully explained in other Upanishads, etc., that there are two powers of Maya, Vikshepa Shakti and Avaran Shakti. So during waking and dream, Vikshepa, scattering power, diffusing power, is very much influences our lives. But in the deep sleep state, we don't have that problem because mind and body are absent, identity with them are absent. But avarana shakti, that means we truly do not know who we are, but we are very near to our own true nature. At least 50% of the ignorance is vanished completely. That is why deep sleep is the highest state of happiness anybody can experience, and some saints compare it even to Brahmaloka Ananda. So for a poor man's Brahmaloka Ananda, not Brahmananda, don't mistake, Brahmaloka Ananda is this deep sleep. we will talk. These are marvelous things. And if we understand this beautiful analysis, we understand the essence of the entire this Ajatashatru Gargya dialogue. Om Jananim Sharadham Devim Ramakrishnam Jagatgurum Padapadmetayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Moho. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.